Morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the water. Thank you, Lord. I just, as a matter of interest, did you know that a mealie seed can produce 800 seeds on one cob? And most of the modern mealie plants produce 2 to 3 cobs. So do your arithmetic. It's up to 2,400 seeds off one seed. That's what you were seeing there, that thing of making disciples. You don't know the person you're going to touch, who they're going to touch. And they might be the next Billy Graham or whatever. You do not know that. So best you just give them the gospel and let God do what he has to do. Isn't that amazing? I get to be part of something so much bigger than who I am. Whether I came from the bluff or whether I'm sitting in Belito, it really doesn't matter. As long as my heart is open to the Lord. Is that right? You're happy with that? Okay. I'd like to just give you a word that I felt for this church. I saw this church as an avocado nursery, and I didn't know this was going to be on the screen. I see many of the ordinary avos that have been grown and have borne fruit and are now being used as the seed bed for the export avos to be grafted on. So people will come to this church who need to be grafted into the rootstock. Many will stay and provide food for those here, but many are going to be exported, like to America, whether you like it or not, in other soils to grow and produce fruit in those areas. So don't despise your time in this nursery where you'll be nurtured by the farmer. You'll be pruned. You'd be taped to others. Did you know that they get taped? They tape the graft onto the rootstock. It's not a comfortable thing. And you might be taped to someone you don't want to be taped to. But just as you need to do that, you need to get grafted in properly. And the aim is not just a healthy tree, but export fruit. Export avos to provide fruit in season here and out of season overseas. And some plants will also be brought back. And other plants that have not flourished will be brought to this nursery to be restored and to be nursed back to life. And this is a good nursery. That's what I felt God say. You, just look at the person next to you. You say, you're a great nursery. Okay. Robust, strong, straight plants are being grown, plants that will bear much fruit. Don't despise what the farmer does with you. His aim is to produce rootstock and fruit that will feed the nations. And that's for you, Grace Life Church. You are not here just to be part of the bluff. Your footprint is wider than these walls. Okay. So, happy Mother's Day. All there. Hello. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you come, Holy Spirit, today. And you turn this word into life. In Jesus' name. Okay, so mothers come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? And we have the good, the bad, and the ugly. All right, don't you dare say your mother's ugly. You'll be in trouble. Mothers are not perfect, but they have a way about them that grows us into maturity. And for some of us, it's what they did do, and for others, it's what they didn't do. But we get to maturity. So let's look at a lady in the Bible, Matthew 20, verse 20 to 21. All right. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from Jesus. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in the kingdom." Isn't that typical of mothers, hey? The message says, give your word to those two sons of mine that they will be awarded the highest place of honor in your kingdom. Hey, that's a good mother. And mothers can be totally embarrassing. So I've got two sons and they grew up in the church with me, And I'm quite upfront in your face, noisy, loud, proud, jumping up and down in the church plays. I mean, I played the harlot the one time and just about shocked the whole of the Richmond, let alone the Jolly Church. It was great fun. I enjoyed it. Anyway, but you know that? Anyone with mothers like that here? No, don't answer, don't answer. So, okay, so back to Mrs. Zebedee. She did not haul her 3 or 5-year-olds into Jesus' presence. She said to them, John, James, oi, come on, come on, come on, come with me to Jesus. Can you imagine? They're grown-up children. Has your mother done that to you yet?
Embarrassing.
You see, when you read the Bible, get into the story and try and understand what those poor guys... Oh, Ma, here we go again. Anyway, she was trying to open a door of promotion for her sons. Isn't that a good mother? Hey? That's the nature of mothers. That's why they teach you to brush your teeth and make your bed and say please and thank you. It's because there's a future involved. And she wants you to get to the place where you'll be a credit, where you go and visit people and they say, your children, they are such well-behaved kids. Or your sons, they have got such good manners. And I want to tell you, that's the kind of thing, that's the reward you want to hear as a mother, that you've got children that you can take anywhere. All right, you with me on that? Okay. Well, think of Jochebed. Jochebed was the mother of Moses. And she had the thought to put him into a basket and put him on the Nile. And by doing that, she opened a new door of freedom and a future for the Israelite nation. Did you know that? Her little activity. Or Deborah, the prophetess Deborah. She opened the door to victory against the evil Canaanites because she went with the army into battle. I know, listen, I think she was quite a lady there. Or how about the unnamed mother in 1 Kings? The unnamed mother in 1 Kings, she had a child, and another woman wanted the same child, and King Solomon said, give me the child, I'm going to cut it in two, and you can each have half. And the real mother said, no, rather let her take my child. And Solomon said then and there, you are the right mother. You are the mother. So she opened the door of life to that child. Mothers, you have a huge potential to open the right door. And even closed doors like Mary did. So Mary, the mother of Jesus, by giving birth to Jesus, she started the proceedings to shut the door of the Old Testament and the Old Covenant so that the new could come in. Isn't that phenomenal? So sometimes doors are closed for a good reason. In Genesis 4:7, Cain was warned that sin is crouching at the door. Can I give you a hint? Are you open for hints?
Yes.
If sin is crouching at your door, keep it closed. You're with me? So if you know, didn't hear anything else today, you go home with that. I will not open the door to sin. Okay? I know he's very tempting. He tries to call you. In Acts 14, there is a door of faith that's opened to the Gentiles. Oh, I'm spraying. Excuse me, guys. Good thing you guys are sitting in the back row there. You're not getting touched. So what door is God prompting us to open today? So just as our own mothers can open and shut doors in our lives, so the Lord also prompts us either to help others or even to open doors or shut doors in our own lives. Are you with me? Have you got some doors that need to be opened in your life? Let me just take you through 4 doors that God showed me, because doors come in all shapes and sizes. There's big ones, there's small ones, wooden ones, aluminium ones, ancient ones, ones that you open with a remote, all sorts. And we also have symbolic doors. Oh, you've touched the door. You opened the door of my heart. Or what about the door of reconciliation? Or at 21, you get the key to the door, the key to maturity. Sorry? Okay. Okay. The one. Okay, do the video on the doors, please. Sorry, I believe I have to give them an instruction. Thanks, Craig. All right. That's in Spain, but yeah, various ones at various places. Rather small. Okay, just carry on watching and I'll talk about the first door, which is the Jesus door. Friends, we all need to have salvation. We all need to respond to Jesus' call to our lives. John 10, verse 7 to 9 says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" So when we give our hearts to Jesus, then we use Jesus. We go through that door called Jesus. We are able then to have freedom to go in and out. We don't get stuck in a little box. Many of us think, oh no, if I give my heart to Jesus, then I've got to kind of become this goody two-shoes. Well, actually, you can have fun, let me tell you. God takes you on this amazing miracle journey. I mean, I've never had so much fun, and I had fun, but I've never had so much fun as since I've been a Christian. So let me invite you, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, today let that be rectified in your life, because he says that he gives us life and life more abundantly. And I'm still having the time of my life. I could sing that song, but I better not. And the thing is that even your mother can't get you through that door. She can point you to the door, which she probably does. How many was dragged here by their mother today? Anyone? Yeah, because that's what mothers do. They bring them. They say, come, you got to come to church. She can only position you. But God, you have to respond to God on your own. Then, of course, there's the prison doors. Anyone felt like they've been in a prison? Maybe you've been in a real prison, or maybe you've just felt as though you've been in a prison. Maybe you're still sitting there, or you have a friend in prison, and all you can see is that door that shuts you in. It might be the prison of addiction, or debt, or sexual sin, or anger, or bitterness. Guys, these are serious things that are going to keep you imprisoned. Hatred, fear, disease, an ongoing disease. Oh, you've inherited it from your parents. No, I want to tell you right now, God's plan is for you to open that prison door. Get out of that. Get out of jail. Get out of jail. Do not pass go. No, you can pass go when you get out of jail. Sorry. Okay. Jonah knows how you feel because Jonah was in the prison in the belly of the fish. And it was only when he was there because of his rebellion, and it was only when he started thanking the Lord. You read it in Jonah 2 verse 8. When he started exercising thankfulness, that pew, the fish kicked him out and he landed on the shore. I want to tell you that there are prisons that you might be in that God wants you to be free from. Are you ready to get out of that prison? Are you ready? Sorry, I'm shouting, but that's me, okay? I get excited because this gospel is worth shouting about. Okay, then some of you might be in a prison of because you did the right thing. You know, some people, because they did the right thing, they got fired. Is that right? And that's what happened to Paul and Silas. They did the right thing. They preached the gospel and they ended up not only in prison, but in the inside prison with chains around their legs until they started worshiping the Lord. Can you imagine? As they started worshiping, lifting up their hands, praising the Lord, suddenly there was an earthquake. And oh my goodness, the chains off the door.
wah,
open, and out they went. I want to tell you, what we do on a Sunday morning, and I know worship isn't only singing, but even that, as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we exalt, I want to tell you that chains fall off you automatically. Chains that you didn't even realize you had, they get broken off because you're worshiping and you're lifting up the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, don't sit back and say, oh, you know, I don't sing in tune or anything. Sing out loud and proud. Thank the Lord God doesn't seem to worry about it. He's quite happy for you to be the voice that croaks in the darkness. It doesn't matter. Okay. So when I was in Harare the one time, I was preaching and I was doing a ladies' camp, and this lady came in, and she had been bullied. She'd been married for 2 years and her husband was abusing her, and she came in and she looked like death warmed up. And I prayed and we prayed over her, and God started doing some work in her life and opened those prison doors. The next day when she came into the church service, I didn't recognize her. She came in with a big smile on her face, and I didn't even recognize who she was until and she spoke to me, and then I realized who she was. I want to tell you, when you get out of that prison, your whole life changes. I tell you what, it'll put a smile on your dial. So if you can't smile today, let me tell you, when you're out that prison, you'll smile. You won't be able to stop smiling. Isn't that wonderful? And smiles are free, guys. Look at the person next to them. To you, give them a good smile. It's free. You know, and then there were those guys that carried their friend who was paralyzed, and they couldn't get in the door. So they had to break a hole in the ceiling and drop him down into the room where Jesus was. And Jesus commends them for their faith, but then he turns to the guy and he says, get up. Get out of that prison. And the guy stood up and he was able to walk out. I want to tell you, that's the power of God working in our lives. How about those doors of distress? Have you been like me when you grew up? You had a cupboard, or you shoved stuff away because your mom said, tidy your room, and you shoved it into that cupboard, and you shoved the next lot of rubbish into the cupboard until there was no more space, and you had to, and then quickly lock the door so it would stay closed. I want to tell you that there may be you sitting here today. Maybe you've done stuff. Maybe you ought to have done stuff. Maybe there's stuff you're not proud of and you have locked that away. That is an area in your life you don't want to go back there. God wants you to open that door today. He's saying, trust me and I will work in your situation. I don't know what your past looks like, but so often the people with the biggest issues are it's because of something that's happened in the past and they can't get beyond it. And they are stuck. It's like, and some of you are so wound up that if don't go near that section, if you come anywhere near that, it's going to be like that jack in the box. Pow! Out it'll come. And then I can't get it back in again. And I want to tell you right now, you don't want it to go back in again. You don't want that jack to go back in the box to be another, to terrorize you for another 50 years. God wants you free. He wants you clean. He wants you walking in victory. Are you happy with that? Do you want that? All right, so Shaking Stevens. Anyone remember Shaking Stevens? He's saying, what's that secret behind the green door? What secret are you holding? Because if it's a secret you can't share, you know it's not. It shouldn't be there. God wants to set you free today. All right. They're called skeletons in the cupboard. Yeah. All right. So I've got here, dark rooms are where negatives are developed. Open the door, let the light of Jesus shine in. Revelation says, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking to a person so that they give their heart to Jesus. He is addressing a church that has got lukewarm. And he is saying to them, I'm knocking. I'm knocking. I'm knocking. Because I want you to get back to that place of total liberty, total freedom, total relationship with me when you're on fire for the Lord. And then, of course, we've got the doors of opportunity. Now, this is fun. Okay, take a deep breath, because this is what it's all about. This is what we all want. We want those doors of opportunity. Anyone here doesn't want to have a door of opportunity? Hey? No, we all do. We want that door of opportunity. So often I've prayed, Lord, open those doors. You know, God has given me prophetic words, and that's what's lovely about the prophetic, is that it's, I can hold those up to the Lord and say, Lord, you said. And the amount of times I do that, I say, Lord, you said. You said I'd go to all the nations. Lord, I'm here. And then all of a sudden I get an invite. And I've got to say, that's it. That's the Lord. It's a door of opportunity. I can't go there just summer. I've got to be invited. Especially when you're a woman on your own. You know, girls, you know what it's like. You can't just do anything. You have to be well behaved. And you... I'm always well behaved, more or less. Craig. But you know what I'm saying? A guy can go anywhere. Nobody seems to look twice at him. But a woman, you have to be circumspect. Now, I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm just saying you've got to look sharp and let those doors open. And 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So God has opened a door, and yes, there are adversaries, just like the giants in the promised land. But God says, don't worry, if you go with me, those adversaries are nothing. I want to tell you, when you're on God's side, nothing can stop you. In Colossians 4, verse 2 to 3, Paul says to the Colossians to please pray for him, a door to preach the gospel would be open to him. In Acts, there's a door of faith. So we can ask God to open doors. But however, there's some great-looking doors, but are they the right doors? They could be. I spoke to a chap yesterday. He said he had an opportunity to go to either Mauritius or to Dubai. And he just thought, oh, Mauritius. But God said, actually, it's Dubai. And he went, and God used him amazingly. In 2 Corinthians, are you still with me? Right. In 2 Corinthians 12 to 13, it says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Let me tell you, there are times when God will let you to even look through the doorway, but he doesn't necessarily want you to go through that door, because he didn't have peace. He didn't find his brother there. So be very aware, and that's what we have leaders for. We go to our leaders and we say, listen, this is what I'm feeling God is saying, but this is what's happening. Can you walk with me? Can you pray for me? Can you help me? And very often they can see everything in clarity, and they're able to say, I believe this. I want to tell you, that's why we have leaders. Do not think you can do it on your own. Do not make decisions of great importance without speaking to your leaders. Do you mind me saying that? It's important, friends. It's important. Okay. And some doors, he's happy. He's opened the door. He's got a door for you, but it's going to take time. And while it's taking time, he's building your character. You know when you have to go around the mountain? Anyone gone through the round the mountain before? Around and around. I've got a son who's now 42. And last year, he finally had the door open to him to go and lead a church. He had felt the call when he was 16 years old. He has served on 3 different prophetic eldership teams faithfully for 26 years. This opportunity came, he had to say no. Business opportunities came, he had to say no. He knew what God had called him to. When the time was right, he went from prison to the palace, so to speak. He's sitting in cold and wet Cape Town. So that's where he's landed, but he seems to be enjoying it. Okay. But that tells you that sometimes those doors that are good doors will take time to get you there. All right. You're happy with that? Okay. So the question I've got here is, are you prepared to dream big? Church, are you prepared individually and corporately? Are you prepared to dream big? God has a bigger future for you. It's always bigger than it was. Is there a door in front of you? Or maybe you're helping someone else get through a door. It's not always you. Sometimes you're helping someone else. I want to speak today, or I want to end today, and I'd like to pray for those four doors in our lives, if that's all right. You want to come and join me, Craig?
Why do we stand together? Tanya's going to pray for us, of course, and I believe she'll probably ask us to put their hands up or whatever she's going to ask us to respond to. But I want to encourage you, my friends. The Bible says that in Hebrews that God is pleased with faith. Matter of fact, it says with the Israelites in the old covenant in the desert, he was not pleased with them because they did not respond by faith. There was a doing thing. There was something they were supposed to do, and they didn't want to do it. And sometimes, as simple as why don't we raise our hands, for whatever reason, that is a simple response of faith. And I can see the Father sitting on his throne with lightning and peals of thunder around the throne. And I can see him saying to the angels, go to that one. I can see faith. Go answer that prayer. I can see faith. And as simple as putting my hand up means I'm responding to the word of the Father by faith. The woman with the issue of blood had to reach her hand out to touch the hem of his garment. Sometimes lifting our hands is the same concept. So I heard a story from someone yesterday. I'm sure they will explain it a bit more down the line. But they had a major problem with their body for years and years of pain. And they were at a church, hadn't been there long, come from an Anglican background. And the pastor said, why don't we lift our hands? And there was an internal struggle. Like, I'm from an Anglican background. You don't lift your hands in church. And he went, I'm going to lift my hands if you want to be prayed for, he said, for healing. And this guy lifted his hands, and he said he felt a click, a pop, and a crackle. Oh, no, hold on, that's the cereal. But he felt a pop and a crackle in his back. And he said, from that day to 20 years later, still no pain. Amen. But the point is lifting our hands in response to a word from God that gets called out from the man or the woman preaching. And I want to encourage you, don't be shy. Oh, people are watching. Don't care about what people are thinking. You just respond in whatever way we asked. Amen? Bless you, Tanya.
Yeah. The lady in green that's standing, yeah, head above, that's you. Yes, you tall lady. Carla, I really feel that you're a door opener. I feel like God has called you to open doors for other people. And I want to encourage you on that. I want to encourage you. You're going to stand, and you're going to stand on behalf of people. You're going to go and stand where other people are unable to. You're going to stand on their behalf. I kind of get a bit of a fighter spirit in you. I sense a fighter spirit in you. You are not going to take any prisoners. Well done. You go for it, girl. Okay. All right. So I want to just, my first thing is I'd like to invite, if you have never opened that door called Jesus into eternal life, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never, you might have come here for 20 years, if you have never submitted your life to Jesus 100%, if that is you, I'd like to just ask you if you'd lift up your hand. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I know that it's important that we are all on the same page. Is there anyone here, your heart is beating, and you're saying, yes, I need the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well done. Thank you. I want to tell you, it's a decision you've made. You'll never be the same again. Amen. Is there anyone else? I don't want to rush it. I know you got things to do, but it's important. This is the most phenomenal miracle in the world when someone comes to the Lord. So, Father, I want to pray, Lord, right now for these people. I want to thank you, Lord, for your hand upon them. I want to thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon them. I thank you, Lord, that as they turn to you, Father, thank you that you take them into a new trajectory. You take them into a new position, and you bring them right before your throne, never to leave. Father, thank you that you love them. You love them. And Father, thank you that you've got so much more for them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Please, if you're one of those people, find somebody who's got a tag around their necks or somebody who looks like the PA guards, and they'll direct you who to speak to. Because it's important that somebody just chats with you and tell your friend. It's always important to give a witness. Say, this is what's happened to me today. All right. Isn't that exciting? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. But maybe you're in that prison. Maybe you have been in addiction. Maybe you've got some disease that they say they can't cure. If there's anyone here who's got some kind of issue that you're in the prison, maybe you felt as though you can't get out. If that's anyone, if you would lift up your hand. Is there anyone here who's in some kind of prison? I also feel as if there's anyone here with something wrong with their foot. I just get a pain in my foot. Is there anyone here? I feel God wants to heal you today. And I really just believe that God can do something supernatural. Hey, man, you know it's wonderful that you don't have to rely on me. It's all about Jesus working through his Holy Spirit. And he's here today and he's moving. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for every single person who has been in a prison. Whatever that prison is, Lord, there's no prison door that is too strong that you cannot get through and you can't open up. And Father, I thank you, Lord, right now for breakthrough and breakthrough, and that the lightning would come and set these people free so that they can move into the more that you've got for them. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your fire and your authority in their lives to break off everything that the enemy has tried to keep on their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if there's anyone here who you know you could identify with that cupboard picture where, oh gosh, I have done that. I'm not proud of what I did. I did this when I was younger, or I did that, or I should have done something and I never did it. If that is you, won't you put your hand up? Because I believe God wants to, he is saying to you, there is nothing that the blood of Jesus doesn't wash whiter than snow. I want to promise you this, that it doesn't matter what you've done. Thank the Lord he did not write the Bible using perfect people. Just when you think so-and-so is perfect, you discover that they did that. They either murdered someone, they raped someone, they stole from someone, but God. Oh, Father God, I love you so much. I love you, Jesus. I love the fact that you take us from the miry clay and you put us onto the rock. You put our feet on the rock again. Father, that cupboard door, that jack-in-the-box that's trying to bring fear onto us, even that spirit of fear that will hold us in bondage, today, right now, we cut it off in Jesus' name. We bring healing and wholeness and restoration over our people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, it doesn't matter if I'm 93 in the shade or I'm only 19. I thank you, Lord, you still can use me. Thank you, Jesus. And lastly, I want to speak about that door of opportunity. Are you in a place where you need some opportunities? I'm always putting up my hand for that opportunity. I'm Jimmy, and I'll take what you can give me, Lord. Father, I want to pray, Lord, if there are people here that need opportunities, it might be in the job department, business issues, it might be in moving into certain places. It might be planting churches. It might be starting some charity here on the bluff. Father, whatever it is, you know what it is. Lord, Father, you said, why would you only give me the opportunities? Lord, you will give everybody the opportunity that they are crying out for. Father, I pray, Lord, for those doors to open. Father, those people that are saying, when, how much longer, Lord? I say, Father, come in your power. Give them the capacity to push through. Thank you, Lord, that in Jesus' name you come. I release that open door situation into their situations. We pray for that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for your fire and for your authority and your power to operate not only in them, but through them. Lord, I see an army that needs to move out into the highways and the byways, into the shops, into the offices, into the schools. Father, I pray for the young people of this church. I say, Lord, thank you for them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you fire them up, that they will never be the same again in the name of Jesus. And I give you, God, all the glory. I praise you, Lord, because you are perfect and your words will not return to you void in Jesus' name.